Ouais, avec ça. Thanks. And huge thank you to Clive. I think it's pretty difficult to lead from the front and the piano at the same time. You've done a great job there, Clive. Thank you. So, welcome to you all. I mean, we are a bit thin on the ground, but it's great to see you here this morning. We are looking at Psalm 23 in our sort of very intermittent series on Psalms. That's the place where we've reached. It's been a long time since Psalm 22, but we are now in Psalm 23. It's a bit daunting. It is a well-known psalm. I imagine some of you know it off by heart. It's one that's often used at various ceremonies. So I'll try not to mangle it too badly. I doubt I'll say anything original, but I hope I'll say something that's useful and encouraging for us. So maybe a reminder of some beautiful truths, even if they're not original truths, as it were. So let's read Psalm 23. I'm reading from the new NIV version. I will at times quote the King James, because I think that's a well-known translation of it. And at times it's a rather beautiful translation as well. But I'm reading from the NIV now. So Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So our topic today is this metaphor that David uses: the Lord is my shepherd. And I've taken three headings, which is sort of just following the structure of the psalm, really. So firstly, we'll look at in the pastures with the shepherd. Secondly, in the valley with my shepherd. And thirdly, in the house of my shepherd. That's a sort of rough structure of the psalm. So firstly, looking at the in the pastures with my shepherd. Now, I'm not an expert on sheep. That will become obvious at various points, I'm sure, today. But David was. David was a shepherd as a boy, as a young man, and he knew about sheep. If you are a sheep, you need a shepherd to look after you. Sheep are not clever animals. They're prone to wandering off. They're completely defenseless against predators. And they need a shepherd. And David draws on that need, that fragility of the sheep, for this psalm. And his opening line there is this lovely, sublime declaration that the Lord is his shepherd. Are we making a pretty fluid sort of leap today between David and us? Because just as the Lord is David's shepherd, he is also our shepherd individually. I think if there's one thing I'd like to leave with today, if there's one thing that, one jewel, if you like, that you take home and ponder more, it would be that opening line, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. We'll focus a lot on that at the start today. I think it's probably worth just noting as well, I mean, this is only one way that Scripture talks about the Lord, but I think this is a very intensely personal psalm. It's about the sheep and his shepherd. It's nothing to do with the sheep and the other sheep, not their relationships that matter here. It's the sheep and his shepherd. It's an intensely personal psalm about David and his relationship with the Lord. So that's really, if you leave today with something, I hope it's with a glimpse of that relationship and how our relationship can be more like what David had with the Lord. But it is only one aspect of God, a bit of a sheep's eye view, as it were. Okay, so let's look at this shepherd in David's psalm. What does this shepherd do for his sheep? Well, if we listen to what David says, he says, "I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul." So firstly, this shepherd provides for his sheep. The sheep has everything that he needs. This is not a shepherd who neglects his sheep or leaves the sheep to fend for themselves to see how they cope. This shepherd makes sure that his sheep has everything the sheep needs. I think for David, so moving swiftly from the sheep to David, for David, I think this goes deeper than just physical needs. This shepherd satisfies David. He lacks nothing. And you can hear, I think, that sense of contentment and satisfaction in David's opening line. You can hear that restfulness and peace in his description of his walk with the shepherd. David has found complete satisfaction in his shepherd. "I lack nothing. He satisfies me." And I'm sure, you know, as we've read through the Psalms, and you've got a glimpse of David as this man whose greatest joy is knowing the Lord. And that's true for us too, isn't it? Our deepest satisfaction is in knowing the Lord. As the Catechism says, man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. So we get in this opening line a sort of contentment that is very different from, I guess, our culture, our very material culture. We live in a rich country, and yet we never seem to quite have enough. We're seldom content with what we have. David has found contentment, but we always want more. The next more fashionable, better things. I don't know if you've heard about the iPhone 7. There's a lot of speculation about not when it's going to be released, but when they're going to announce the release date. Now I'm a little bit upset because I haven't even bought my iPhone 6 yet, and already there's a newer model being produced. As soon as we bought something, I don't know. Still on the altar. What are those things called? Yeah. As soon as we buy one thing, we want something more. But here we see in David a real contentment, resting on this person of this shepherd. And that's such a beautiful characteristic for a Christian to have. To find delight in the Lord. For that to be our greatest joy. And not the worldly pleasures that are fading around us. That's the opening line. "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." And then, if you remember our memory verses that the kids have been learning, but I think the Hebrews 13 one is very poignant here. Hebrews 13 says, "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, 'Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.'" So that, I think, is very much like this psalm. Why love money when you can have God? Why hanker after these other things which are temporary, passing away? It won't be better than God. So I lack nothing. Secondly, he refreshes my soul. So we've seen that the shepherd, he meets the needs of his sheep. He lacks nothing. What else does the shepherd do for his sheep? Well, we've got this beautiful picture, haven't we, of the green pastures and the quiet waters. This sheep does everything. He's got his green grass, he's got his water to drink, the shelter, the safety that he needs. Notice also that this sheep is lying down. At this point, I'm veering into expertise I don't have, so I'm trying to pull my bluff. But sheep don't lie down when they're feeling hassled or worried. Okay, now here's my personal experience of this. It's not from a manual, but we went on a lovely walk as a family, quite an adventurous walk near Bletchingdon. And we saw a lot of animals on the way. We went for a field of horses. And the horses were completely indifferent to us. They wouldn't get out of the way. We had to walk around these horses. They didn't even notice us. But when we went into a field of sheep, instantly the sheep were on the alert. They're looking at you, they're aware of you, and as we approached, they're up on their feet and they're moving away. Sheep don't lie down when they're worried or hassled. Do you want to know about the llamas? It's a bit of an aside. We saw a lovely group of llamas, and I was quite worried. Joya thought they were fascinating. Do you remember? And you ran straight for them, thinking, oh, it's llamas. And the llamas just stood there, glaring at her, this little girl. Really quite a scary moment. But luckily, we managed to stop Joya before she got herself into trouble. So this sheep is lying down, secure, because his shepherd is with him. And where's he lying? He's lying in these lush green pastures, drinking water from these quiet waters. He's got everything he needs. And what's the consequence there? You see, David says his soul is refreshed by that, by the green grass, the quiet waters. The King James translates it as restored. So there's a refreshing or a restoration for this sheep. This shepherd brings his tired sheep to a safe place to be rested, refreshed. If he's injured, he treats him. He addresses his needs. And so too for us. I imagine some of you are tired and weary. Some of you may have reached the end of your strength. Your shepherd brings you refreshment. He brings you peace. Or maybe you're a sheep who's wandered off, endangered your soul and fallen into sin. And your shepherd comes to restore you, to bring you back. I've very happily read, the sheep that wanders off. And the shepherd leaves his 99 and he goes and looks for that lost sheep and brings it back. He counts the sheep, he knows if one is missing, and he comes looking. And we should rejoice that we have such a shepherd as this. Now, all of these truths are well known. There's nothing outrageously new in this. And I think, you know, we've already prayed today of God's mercy, of his forgiveness, his tenderness towards us. But I think the real benefit of this psalm is that intensely personal nature of it. So David isn't just describing the Lord as a shepherd, but he says the Lord is my shepherd. He refreshes my soul. He leads me beside quiet waters. I think, you know, we need to try and own that relationship too, and try and, you know, that's the thing to aspire towards. This is not about someone else. This is not just describing the Lord. This is the relationship, our relationship, and how it should be with the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. Let's try and own that. Think too about the description that Jesus gave of himself as the good shepherd. And again, we get a very personal aspect to that. So in John chapter 10, Jesus says, you know, he describes this shepherd. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. This is not a distant relationship. This is an intensely personal, intimate relationship. And that is what our relationship with the Lord should be like. That's the picture we have this morning. Now, if you accept that, then you'll seem to accept your role in this metaphor. The Lord is this great shepherd, and we are this rather pathetic figure of the defenseless sheep. But we can delight in the Lord as the one who satisfies us, who refreshes our soul. Perhaps a few questions on that before we move on to our second point today. Think about your satisfaction. Where do you look for satisfaction? What is it you desire most in your heart? Do you feel your need of God? Or do you trust yourself? Do you trust God to provide, or do you worry and fret? as things to ponder and to work on in our relationship with the Lord. Secondly, we're going to look in the valley with my shepherd. So as we move through verse 3 and into verse 4, we see now the sheep is no longer lying down, but travelling along with the shepherd. The shepherd leads him and the shepherd guides him. So let's read those verses again. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Think about these right paths. Some of you might know the King James translation is quite different from that. So I think here the NIV translates it, sort of focus on the sheep walking along these right paths. The King James, I think, translates it more with David the man in mind. So translates it as, he leads me in the paths of righteousness. I don't think you could really say that about a sheep so much. But there's a very thin sort of line between David and the sheep in this psalm. Either way, I think we can be assured of two things. Here we see the shepherd guides us. He's guiding us. And secondly, he's leading us according to what is right. So, you also notice there's a contrast, isn't there, between the first picture with the beautiful pastures and the quiet waters. Very peaceful picture. Here we have the paths, which are not free from trouble. But they are right. Think about, left to themselves, sheep are famous for wandering. Okay? That's a well-known fact. I have to stretch my expertise too far there. They're not very good at knowing what's the right way to go. And they get distracted. They see a bit of grass, off they go. Oh, that looks great. They're not very good at knowing what's the right way to go. But this shepherd leads his sheep. He doesn't leave his sheep to their own meandering. He leads them along right paths, going ahead of them and leading them into righteousness and maturity. All the sheep's got to do is follow. To listen to the voice of his shepherd and to follow him. How do we know this leading? How do we hear our shepherd's voice? Of course, the main way is through the scriptures and listening to God's word. Psalm 119 describes the word as a lamp for our feet and a light on my path. So the sheep can listen to the shepherd's voice just by picking up the Bible and reading it. But we need to really have that sense of love for the scriptures and a real reliance on the scriptures. That's how we're going to walk in paths of righteousness, to listen to our shepherd's voice. And I think recognise as well, our tendency to stray, just like the sheep. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, is how Isaiah says that. In our hearts, we know that we can justify anything, right or wrong. And our shepherd wants to lead us in paths of righteousness, but our hearts are not trustworthy and tend to go astray. So listen more to his voice than to our own. Do you see as well why the shepherd is doing this? We get a little glimpse of God's motivation here. Why is he guiding? Why does God not give up on us? Why does he lead us into these paths of righteousness? Is it because you are a good sheep? No, in fact, it's nothing to do with the sheep at all, is it? It's for his name's sake. If you start the sentence, Jesus loves me because... Sorry, that's one of my answers. That was foolish, Paul. Jesus saved me because... There's lots of ways you could end that sentence. So it could be, because he loves me. Or because he wants a people for himself. Or Jesus saved me because he wants me to be holy. But here we get a different motivation. All those are true, but here we see it's for his name's sake. The shepherd is acting for his honour and his glory. That's a tremendously reassuring phrase, because it doesn't rely on us. It doesn't rely on the fragile sheep or the wandering sheep. It relies on him, not on us. It's for his name's sake. So this is good news for bad sheep. All right? God's motivation is from himself. It's not because of us. And where does the shepherd lead us? Well, you can see here, sometimes the shepherd does lead his sheep into difficult places. So we started with the picture of peace and tranquility in the pastures, place of refreshing. But now the sheep is walking into a dark valley. Again, we get sort of two different translations, really. NIV is the darkest valley, and the King James is the valley of the shadow of death. I'm going to sort of play with both, really. I mean, the NIV, I think, is taking a sort of very general view, the darkest valley, representing, you know, a place of difficulty and danger. And the King James, I think, perhaps has more actual death in mind, the valley of a shadow of death. But before we look at those two, notice first that the position of the shepherd has changed. In verse 3, the shepherd was in front, leading and guiding the sheep. But now he is alongside the sheep in its darkest moments. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Slightly worrying. Kids are escaping. So the position of the shepherd has changed. He's no longer leading from the front. He's now alongside his sheep. I think it's important to note that the shepherd doesn't spare the sheep from going through these dark places. But he is with the sheep. And that's true for Christians. We know we're not immune from the difficulties of life. But our shepherd is with us during those times. This sheep fears no evil, not because the shepherd avoids the valley, but because the shepherd is with him in the valley. Is it perhaps worth pondering why is the scary place a valley? I think we tend to romanticise valleys as being like beautiful places, especially people from Wales, maybe. Why would valleys be scary places for Israel? A moment for audience participation. I don't know. I could do it, actually. Yeah. There's two great possible answers, yeah. I was thinking chariots, but you might be right. I mean, throughout the history, Israel has tried to avoid the valleys because all the enemies have chariots, which are great in the valleys, but are rubbish on the hills. Whereas Israel's foot soldiers are great on the hills, rubbish in the valleys. Yeah, okay. It's a dark, scary place anyway. And this shepherd carries a rod and a staff. Now, the rod is basically like a big, heavy stick to fend off wild animals. A cudgel, you might call it. The staff is more like the shepherd's crook to keep the sheep in the right place, keep them in order. And that's the two roles the shepherd shows here, defending the sheep from external attack and disciplining the sheep to keep them out of danger. And that's true for us too, isn't it? We too face attack, and we also need discipline. Much is said in the scriptures of how Christians face attack, both human and satanic. And we shouldn't be surprised when we are opposed and hated for the sake of Christ. But nor are we to be fearful, because our shepherd is with us, and he's carrying a big stick. Even when we face the fiery arrows of the devil, do you remember what Paul writes to the Ephesians, is their defence against the fiery arrows, the devil? Shield of faith. Fantastic. Yeah, the shield of faith. So knowing that your shepherd is with you, having that confidence in him to protect you. You don't need to be afraid. There is comfort from his rod. And he has a staff for correction and discipline. Again, from Hebrews, we know that the Lord disciplines us. I'm reading from Hebrews 12 here. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. So do you see here that lovely juxtaposition between painful discipline and righteousness and peace? These are not opposites, but one leads to the other. So your shepherd will lead you into tough places, but he will also give you refreshment, and it will yield righteousness. So there's comfort from his staff as well. So that's looking at the dark valleys being difficult times and hardship. But we can also take the King James translation and think about more actual death, the valley of the shadow of death. Death is the final path that the shepherd will lead us on. And it's a path that no one else can walk with us or alongside us. But the shepherd is with us. Death is the inevitable end of us all. But we will not tread that dark valley alone. The shepherd, the eternal one, will be with us as we enter that dark valley all the way through to the eternal light on the other side. It's quite interesting that this psalm comes after Psalm 22, which has been a while since we looked at Psalm 22, but that's the psalm that describes the crucifixion of Christ and has those words that Christ quotes from the cross. As he dies, Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me? He had the anguish of dying without the presence of the Almighty. But none of us, no Christian, will die without the Lord our Shepherd alongside us. He is there to comfort us. Now in everyone's life there'll be dark places, there'll be dark times, and there might be from other people hurting us, like health issues, might even be those pangs of those early signs of death coming in old age maybe. And our encouragements from today's psalm are firstly that your shepherd walks with you in the darkest valley. Secondly, that hardship will yield a harvest of righteousness. And thirdly, that there will be refreshment and green pastures too. So that's the sort of the first image we get from David. This wonderful shepherd who's with his sheep in the good times and the bad times, and he provides everything that his sheep need. His sheep are content with their shepherd. And I think, you know, if we could just assimilate that ourselves and say that in our own hearts, then our lives would be characterized more by peace and contentment and joy and delight. And when hardship strikes, we will know his comfort. Without that relationship, then our life will be characterized by anxiety and fear. And when darkness strikes us, it will cause us worry and bewilderment. And let's look now at the final aspect of this psalm. So we've had in the pastures with my shepherd, in the valley with my shepherd, and lastly we have in the house of my shepherd. I think we have a change of metaphor here in verse 6. It's quite hard to picture a sheep sitting at the table for a feast. I think throughout the psalm there's been a very loose, very obvious connection between David and the sheep, and I don't think it's a problem here to slightly forget about the sheep and think more about David, the man. So let's read those verses, verse 5 and 6. David says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So we finish with this wonderful intimacy, this picture of intimacy with David, invited by the Lord to eat with him and to have fellowship with him and to dwell, to live with him in his house. We start with the table laid in the presence of his enemies. I guess what David's got in mind here is maybe a victory feast after a battle, and the captured enemies to one side while they enjoy their feast. I don't know if you read the Asterix comics, but every Asterix story finishes with the village having a big feast, maybe with the odd Roman tied to a tree, or something. It's often the bard as well, isn't he? Gets himself gagged and tied up. But it's something like that, maybe, a victory feast once the enemy has been defeated. Sounds a bit triumphalist, maybe. I don't know if you feel you have enemies yourself or whether that rankles with you to be so triumphalist in his quotes here. I think about David. David had a lot of enemies in his life. Some of whom were foreign nations attacking Israel. Some of whom were far more close than that. I mean, his own father-in-law Saul, or his son Absalom. He had many enemies. And as we've worked through the Psalms so far, that theme of his enemies has come up a lot in David's Psalms. But I want to just say perhaps one thing about that. When David writes about his enemies, it's not just personal enemies that he wants to have personal revenge against. David sees them as enemies of the Lord. It's, those who oppose him because they oppose the Lord. And I think, we can perhaps think of, we can create enemies for ourselves by doing wrong things or by just being annoying people. And I think that's not the sort of enemy that's also the Lord's enemy. I think David's enemies were those who, they were opposing him because they opposed the Lord, not because he was a bit annoying. And here we see David utterly vindicated and victorious at this feast. Also, his head is anointed with oil. Now that can be the significance of appointing somebody to a role, like when David was anointed as king. But I think here it's simply David is an honoured guest, having his head anointed with oil and his cup overflowing. He's well looked after by a conscientious host at this feast. And I think here we get perhaps a more of a future aspect to the imagery that David's using. I think some of this must be pointing to the future, to a heavenly glory, when his, all his enemies are defeated and the end has come. They're vanquished and David now dwells with the Lord. But it's certainly a beautiful picture of the relationship that God wants with us. And it's not all pie in the sky. It's not all just about dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. We also have that experience of his day-by-day living. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. I think Clive used the word pursue in your prayer earlier on. The goodness and the love is not randomly falling on David. It's following him. It's pursuing him. Such is God's sort of blessing on him that his love is pursuing David. So you see with David, we have that love and that goodness in his life now. We see that future aspect that he will dwell with the Lord forever. I think if we can leave today with that sense of the Lord is my shepherd, that sense of his blessing and his love day by day, that assurance from knowing he's with us in dark times, that utter provision, the satisfaction that we get from him, and also that sense of hope that we will not only experience God's goodness now, but we're looking forward to dwelling with him forever. Let's have a moment of quiet, and then we'll sing a version of the psalm from the Blue Psalm in a moment. Let's just have a moment of quiet first. Oh Lord God, we thank you so much for how you care for us, how you provide for us. Thank you that you are our shepherd. Lord God, thank you that you're with us in those dark times. Thank you that you're preparing an eternal home for us to be with you forever. Lord God, we pray that you'd help us to walk more in the truth of that day by day, to experience that goodness, and to rest on you as our great shepherd. Amen. There are many versions of this song, but we're going to sing 23C in the Blue Songbooks. So the King of Love, my shepherd is, 23C. Thank you.